Spooky Life Podcast, Episode 2, A Night to Remember.
This happened in 2012. I was in my early 20s and I had just gotten out of a 5-year relationship. I didn't have a lot of dating experience, which can kind of explain some of the dumb decisions I made that night. Ultimately, the blame for what happened rests on this dude. I had been talking with this guy on OkCupid for a few months. We had some casual banter going on. We exchanged numbers after a while, Skyped a couple times. We flirted really heavily. He lived about 2.5 hours away from me. For some time, we never really quite found the time to hang out, but we did keep in touch. Eventually, though, he texted me one day and he asked if I was busy the next day. It so happens that I wasn't, so I invited him to hang out in my town and I'd buy him a few drinks for the trouble of driving that far. So the next day comes. I wait at the bar that we agreed to meet up at. And he's late, like super late. After about a half an hour, I'm kind of pissed and I almost go home, but he keeps texting me that he's almost there. And I kind of give him the benefit of the doubt because it was a long drive and maybe he got stuck in traffic somewhere, I don't know. Finally, he arrives over an hour late. Immediately, I realize that I'm not attracted to him at all. Just isn't any chemistry between us, and from the vibe that he's giving off, it kind of seems like the feeling's mutual. But he's really nice and he's fun to talk to, so I'm cool hanging out for a while. He did drive a long way to come and see me, so I figured I kind of just owed him a little of my time. We had a few drinks, but not enough to get either of us really tipsy at all. The bar is totally dead. I think we might have even been the only people left in there. So the bartender decided to close up early. The rest of town is really dead too. It's a small town. It's getting late. Since I live less than a 10-minute walk from there, I invite him to come over to my place to smoke a bowl and hang out for a little while longer before he makes the long trip all the way back home. At the time, I'm living in this little granny unit in my landlord's backyard. It's like really dark back there. There's a lot of foliage, bushes. It's kind of spooky. We get inside, we smoke a bowl, we talk a little bit more, watch some videos. He had mentioned a while back that he was a regular cannabis smoker, and he also didn't seem very affected by what we were smoking. But I, on the other hand, was fairly stoned. So we're just chilling for a while. Again, no flirtatiousness at all from either side. It's very friendly, comfortable, just like buddies hanging out. Until, out of nowhere, he puts his arm around me and he stares really deeply and intensely into my eyes while he's moving his face slowly closer to mine. I understand that I did invite him over to my place on a date and that does send a certain signal. Not everybody reads body language very well and sometimes wires get crossed. I hadn't been reading his behavior as flirtatious at all, but maybe he read mine that way. I don't know. I'm not going to be dramatic about him trying to make a move. I try to like casually shrug away and like brush it off. I think I even told him, oh, no thanks. And as you can probably guess, the mood after this takes a turn for the awkward. Before, we'd been keeping up like a friendly conversation, and now suddenly he's gotten very stony and very quiet after his failed move. I tried to like focus on the video that we were watching and not the increasing silence and discomfort. A few minutes go by and then he tries it again. He puts his arm around me, touches my shoulder, and once again I shrug away from him. But this time his response to that rejection is to do this big like exaggerated cartoonish yawn stretch, like with his hands in the air, like it was straight out of Looney Tunes. And then he announces that he's gonna take a nap on my floor for a bit before he drives all the way back home. Then he proceeds to lie down, he closes his eyes, does not respond when I talk to it. This didn't feel right to me at all. But again, I was young and dumb, kind of stoned. I turn off the light and I leave him in my granny unit. I go into the main house and hang out with my roommate slash landlord in the kitchen. And I start thinking to myself about how this night has really taken a turn for the weird. I'm wondering what I should do. Should I sleep in the living room? Should I just kick him out? At this point, I'm wishing this whole nap thing was a ruse. I wish he would drop all pretenses and bail right now so that I could get some rest in my own bed without some strange dude lying on the floor. And at the very moment that I'm having this thought, I get a text message from him that makes my stomach drop. It says, "Hey, sorry I grabbed your keys by mistake. I'll bring them to you." I'm like, fuck, oh no. I run outside of my room, and the lights are off. Dude is gone. Sure enough, so are my keys. I text him to ask him what's up. He doesn't answer. I call him. He tells me he's downtown where his truck is parked and that he has the keys. But he won't simply walk back and hand them to me. He wants to drop them off in the center console of my car. This dude's making it clear he does not want to see my face. I start breaking out into a sweat. The situation has gone far past awkward and into unsettling. I keep all my keys to my house, my room, my work, parents' house, my car, on the same lanyard, so this guy pretty much has my whole life in his hands. As there's nothing stopping him from driving away forever with them, I don't want to piss him off until they're back in my hands. I gently tell him, you know, stay put, I'll come get the keys, you can go home after that. And he says, no. He's going to drop them in the center console, and he hangs up on me. I wait a few minutes, since it's a really short walk to my house from where his truck is parked. I go and check my car, no keys. I text and I call him over, over and over again, but get nothing but radio silence. I start to panic. I don't know what he's trying to pull, but I do know where his truck is parked, so I run downtown. I find his truck in the parking lot, but he's nowhere in sight, nor have I seen him on the way there. It's the dead of the night. It's freezing. Nobody's around. Town's closed. He's still not answering my texts or phone calls. I'm freaking out at this point. I'm starting to wonder if I've been conned. Like, I begin to think that maybe he's lured me out of my house so that he could rob me blind. But then I remember I'm poor, so there's not much that he could really take. But fuck, I have no idea what's going on. I'm like sick to my stomach, sweating like crazy, even though it's super cold out. And despite being terrified, I kind of have this thing that like a lot of people have when they're young, which is like, I feel like I'm invincible. I know the situation is dangerous and terrifying, but I kind of like have this macho feeling like I can handle it on my own without calling for help. So I resign myself to pacing around his truck so that there's no way he can leave without giving me back my keys. After all, like, he's got a 2.5 hour drive to get home, so he won't be able to leave with my stuff if I'm guarding his getaway car. And to be safe, I take pictures of my phone of his license plates and his student parking sticker since it had a serial number on it. About 20 minutes go by. He finally texts me that he's definitely left the keys in my car, so no worries. Again, my place is a really short walk from downtown, so where has he been this whole time? I don't dare leave the truck, so I text him back. I say, no, dude, I want to have my keys in my hand before you're gone. I'm serious. This is really weird. I'm at your truck. Please have them when you get here. I get a response about 5 minutes later that says, I'm not kidding. I returned them. For about 45 minutes, I call and text him over and over and over again and still receive no answer. Eventually, the calls start going straight to voicemail, and he still never appears. I'm practically shitting myself at this point, not knowing what the hell is going on or where he is. Like, had he hidden in the bushes outside my place and, like, watched me run out of there? Or is he watching me at this very moment, pacing around his truck from somewhere nearby? Is he making copies of my keys so that he can come back and attack me later? It's very late at night, though, and this is a small town and everything's closed, especially the only hardware store, so that's not probable. Thankfully for my mental health, I was unaware at the time that there are other ways of getting keys copied. After a while, I see this cop car slowly drive around the block, and they're looking at me, probably wondering why I'm pacing around the only vehicle in the parking lot in the middle of the night. They come around again a few minutes later, and they pull into the lot. They roll down their window. One of them asks me what I'm doing. I generally have a distrust of the police, and I'm sure that at this moment I smell like weed, which is why I didn't call the cops in the first place. But at this point, I'm desperate for help. I tell them the whole story. I tell them about the date gone wrong, the keys being taken, the guy saying he's gonna leave my keys in my center console, how he's been radio silent, how he's disappeared, everything. The cops are just as weirded out by the whole situation as I am. I asked them if they wouldn't mind going to check my center console for the keys because I don't want to leave the truck while he still has them, and they actually agree. I'm also really nervous at this point because I do have a little bit of weed in the center console, but I figure I'll just deal with it later as long as Creepy Dude is gone and I get my keys back. They come back after a little bit and they tell me that my keys are in fact in the center console in my car. So I say, great, can you give me a ride back home? I'm terrified of this guy. I have no idea where he is. I don't want to walk alone back home. They say they're not supposed to do this, but eventually they mercifully let me hop in the back seat. We pull up to my place and I stupidly try to open the door from the inside, which you can't do from the cop car. It's taking a while for them to like get out and get me out. And I start to wonder if maybe they found the weed and I'm gonna get in trouble for it, but thanks to the privilege of being a white person who lives at a nice address, that's really not a problem. I seriously doubt that I would have had this positive of an experience with the cops' involvement if that wasn't the case. Get out of the car, they let me out. I go and check my car, and lo and behold, the keys are actually in the center console. The cops surrounding area before they came back to me, and they didn't see anyone walking around. So I gave them a statement, a description of the guy. They said they'd be on the lookout for him. I tell him goodnight, and I run to my room. I flip on the lights, like, kind of half expecting him to be standing there in the middle of my room, waiting, like in a horror movie. But fortunately, he wasn't there. Everything was normal. All my belongings were in the correct places. Nothing was disturbed. The few valuable things I had, like my laptop, some instruments, jewelry, they're all there. My wallet was still in my purse from where he had taken the keys in the first place. The next morning, I drove by the parking lot where his truck had been parked, and it was gone. I found that he had deleted his OkCupid profile and he blocked me on Facebook. For a few weeks, I was super afraid that he would come back to terrorize me, but thankfully, I moved out not long after this incident, so he didn't know where I lived anymore. To this day, there's like so much I'd like to know about that night. Like, why did he take my keys in the first place? If he was planning on robbing me, why did he tip me off that he took them? Like, why didn't he steal anything if that was his intention? Most of all, where the fuck was he hiding that whole time? From time to time, I wonder if he did actually come back to watch me or something. I really don't know. This has been a mystery that boggles my mind ever since it happened. Like I mentioned, I've told this story to friends, I've posted about it online. Everybody has their different theories, and every single one of them is interesting to me because none of them really makes sense. For years, I thought that the story ended here. Then he messaged me on Facebook. Probably about 4 years after it happened, he sent me a message with this half-assed apology. He said that everything happened that night because he misunderstood something I said. He made sure to mention in the message that he was not stalking me as if that was reassuring at all, but just that he remembered my full name and the town I lived in, and that he looked me up because he was thinking of that night and wanted to say he was sorry. My response was something along the lines of, okay, your version of that night's events, go. So he didn't respond to that, except to ask me if I remembered anything of that night, as if I could ever fucking forget. I prodded him some more. He still wouldn't answer. I wrote out this long, angry message about how much that scared me, what I went through that night, like a list of questions, including, why did you steal my keys? Why didn't you just hand them to me when I asked you to? And where the fuck were you hiding that whole time? He didn't answer any of those questions. The only thing he had to say was, during one of the conversations we had that night, I had mentioned feeling like a gay man trapped in a woman's body. I was assigned female at birth, and I do identify as gender non-binary, but at the time I didn't really have the vocabulary for that. It wasn't like really at the forefront of what people were talking about in 2012, so that's how I expressed what I felt about my gender. He said that he took this to mean that I'm a trans woman. This apparently scared him so badly, and he felt so betrayed that he left. To quote the message that he sent to me, he said, "In my mind, I was very concerned, and I felt unsafe that I had been deceived. I looked for the soonest opportunity I could to leave, so I leave. I avoided meeting you because I didn't know what to expect from someone who betrayed my trust. Remember, I took you being born a man as a fact at this point in my mind. I never intended anything ill toward you in any way. In my mind, it was better to be safe than sorry." So I'm like, fuck out of here with that shit. I messaged him back, and I was like, okay, that didn't answer any of my questions about why you took the keys and where you were hiding. I also pointed out to him that he pulled his weird fake nap thing after he tried to put his arm around me again. If he was so concerned and terrified about my gender, why did he even try to pull a move on me? He tried to gaslight me by saying that I wasn't remembering things correctly and that it was none of my business where he was hiding that night. I responded, I told him that he was a creepy, pathetic transphobe, that I wished that he had gotten arrested that night because who knows how many women he scared the shit out of or worse. And then he blocked me. I was really lucky that nothing worse happened to me. I have used online dating afterward, but I've always been really careful, took more precautions. As for him, I hope that he hasn't done anything like this to anyone else or hurt anybody. I seriously doubt he's lived his life since then without being a creep. I want to know what you guys think. You think of any reason why he would steal my keys or where he would have hidden for over an hour?
No. There is zero reason for him to take your keys.
Oh, yeah, they were in your purse.
They were inside your purse.
Yes.
And he told you he took them by accident?
Yes.
Oh. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
When I posted it online, like, people were commenting, apparently there are ways you can get keys copied by just taking a picture of it.
Yeah, there's like a million ways to copy keys.
I'm really glad I didn't know that at the time.
Absolutely horrifying.
One person said that he was probably coming back to like masturbate in my room while I was sleeping. I didn't like that theory at all.
I think he was hiding from you and being aloof and buying time so that he could do that.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, no, I think that's what he was doing. I think he was totally a stalker. I feel like you moving is why you didn't have any other, like, encounters with him.
Probably, but there were a few weeks there where I was still living there. I don't know, like, I was kind of comforted by the fact that he did live so far away and that it would have been a pain in the ass for him to come and stalk me, but it could be possible. I don't know.
I have a question. How far apart were your cars parked?
My car was parked in front of the house that I lived in the back of, and his car was parked less than a quarter mile away.
Okay, so your car was back at your house?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And so you and then you walked to town where his car was because you were worried he wasn't going to bring your keys back.
Yeah. So you're familiar with the area that's described.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, just picture up on that hill. And then downtown.
Okay. What was the time frame, do you think, from when you realize he had the keys, ran to his car, and you actually had the cop say the keys are there and start taking you home.
I would guess, I think that was probably close to 45 minutes or an hour that whole thing.
Like total?
Yeah, probably. Weird. Yeah.
Where was he?
Exactly. Like, where the fuck was he? That's what I keep coming back to.
Yeah. I was thinking about where that area is. I mean, downtown, there's a million ways to get onto the roofs, and there's tons of places where you can kind of tuck away. I just feel like it would have been super easy for him to just get up onto a rooftop or in some dark alley.
Tons of like little nooks and crannies in there. So I do wonder if he was watching me that whole time, because how would he have known to not come back to his truck? I did tell him at one point that I was at his truck, but before that, he never showed up. I don't think he expected me to be as big of a dumbass. I don't think he expected me to stand by his truck the whole time. I almost think that he was going to drive home with my keys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he didn't expect you to be so assertive. Was he older than you?
No, he was about the same age. We were both in our early 20s.
Right. Mm-hmm. I can see him being about hurt that you didn't want to sleep with him, I guess. Like, everything else is pretty weird, but the taking the keys from your purse, it doesn't even add up with the rest of everything.
Some people online, and I tend to notice that they're usually men who say this, that maybe he was just stoned or drunk, and maybe he just made a mistake and felt embarrassed, and I don't know, but that doesn't make sense to me either.
No.
I feel like that's giving him far too much credit. There's so many stoned and drunk people who don't steal people's keys out of their purses.
Mm-hmm. Like,
it was in your purse, which means he was looking for something, if not specifically your keys.
Yeah. And if he was a thief, why didn't he take my wallet? Like I mentioned, like, I don't have a lot of stuff, but he could have taken something.
Yeah, I feel like it's pretty clear that he deliberately was looking for them specifically.
Did he suggest going back to your house, or was that like a mutual decision, or did you feel bad?
I kind of felt bad that the bar was closed and there was nothing else to do, so I invited him back. Because he drove a long way, so I was like, oh, this sucks. The bar is closed. There's nothing to do.
No, that makes sense.
Might as well go to my house.
I know you said I wouldn't make these mistakes now, and I totally get that, but I don't think you did anything super outlandish. You said you Skyped with him, so you'd seen him. You probably felt like you knew him. I mean, I don't think it was that crazy, everything you did. If he hadn't have been a total creep, you wouldn't feel that way about this situation, you know?
No, he was acting totally normal. Felt like we were buddies, like we had been friends for a long time, up until he tried to touch me.
So when he had come onto you twice and then decided to pretend to be asleep on the floor, immediately was not responding to you as if he fell into a deep sleep coma very quickly. Can you go into some detail on what you were thinking? Did he have like a blanket? Did he just lay down in his full clothes and shoes and just pretend to sleep?
I actually did write this part down in my live journal. I kind of left it out in the story, but yeah, he lays down, completely pretends to be knocked out, full REM sleep. So I'm asking him, hey, what's going on? I try to kind of nudge him a little bit. He's completely acting like he's dead asleep immediately. So I'm like, this is super weird, but I'm stoned. And threw a blanket on top of him, I think. And that's when I peaced out. And I was like, all right, this is weird. I'm not going to stay in this room with this guy pretending to be asleep. So I'm going to bounce. And I should have took my purse. I did that.
That's so awkward. Bizarre. I think he pretended to sleep in hopes that you would call it a night and go to bed so that he could pull off whatever shady shit he wanted to do. I think you staying up and away from him while he pretended to sleep fucked up whatever idea he had, so he bailed.
Jesus Christ, that's dark.
maybe he had some really shitty plan, like he is psycho, but he's really bad at it, you know what I mean? Had this whole plan, but he was just too awkward and fucked it up.
He's not seasoned. He needs more practice. He's copied millions of keys now. He's a fledgling.
That's the thing that scares me. He was young at the time, so what is he like now that he's in his early 30s?
I think it's weird he wrote you again. I mean, most dudes probably don't even remember a date they had with one person. Knowing guys like that, those kind of guys, they don't go out of their way for anything. I've never had a guy be like, I reflected on something I did to you 6 years ago. Like, when has that ever happened? I've never had any of them approach me on their own. It's not common, so that's shady too.
Just that whole thing about what he could be up to now and who else he's scared. Maybe there was somebody out there who is more timid than prey for him. I don't know.
I think that's what he hoped. He's relying on our instinct to be polite. As uncomfortable as it made you that this person you didn't know that was being weird laid down on your floor, you were like, okay. Instead of being like, get out or I'm calling the cops.
That's what I would do now. Right. Just never allowed myself to go to that dark place when I think about it, where you were just talking about maybe he was waiting for me to go to sleep. And I have never even allowed my brain to go there.
Oh, sorry.
Hey, I'm like 500 miles away now.
It's funny because the way I came to that conclusion was it kind of reminded me of when I was a little kid and I wanted to get away with something. Typically, my parents would go into the other room or go to bed if I pretended to sleep or something. And then I could sneak cookies or watch a movie on silent or something. Maybe he was thinking, then she'll go to bed and then I'll go make copies of her keys and come back. But then you didn't go to bed, but he still wanted to do it. So he left and pretended to be like, oh, I took your keys, and then bought time to do whatever.
Right.
He's probably watching you the whole time.
Yeah, I think you totally fucked it up. Do you want to describe what you looked like or what he was wearing? I have this vision in my head, but I'm curious.
Sure. He was about my height, so he's probably about 5'7", pretty skinny, short, dark hair. He was really average looking. I don't know. You wouldn't really pick him out from a crowd. He was just kind of small, skinny, normal looking white dude.
Huh. I wasn't picturing that for some reason.
Yeah, it's that nondescript suspect, you know, it's always a dude who can't really be described in a special way. White male, dark hair, you know, kind of makes it creepier.
It's like the guy you would see, he murdered someone, and then you're one of those people that's like, I have a story about him. I mean, not to go crazy, but this whole thing is weird, and hopefully it was an isolated incident, and he just reacted really badly, but I think it's creepy.
Mm-hmm. I actually do look him up. I look his name up maybe once or twice a year. He has a really common name, though, so it makes it kind of hard.
Can I keep tabs on him a little bit?
I do want to know if he's got a record. Like, I look up his name plus arrest record. Nothing really comes up that matches him because, again, it's a really common name. So it's kind of hard.
Yeah. Very weird. There's a lot of things working against you, and I'm glad that you know, everything turned out okay and you were safe, but it's like, yikes.
Mm-hmm. I was really careful ever since then. I'd leave my location on and stuff like that, tell people where I'm at and who I'm with and that kind of thing.
Well, I think you made the proper decisions that night to prevent yourself from getting hurt at least to an extensive level. And we're glad that you are okay and that creep hasn't showed up again.
Yeah,
yeah, me too.
And that creep
Thank you.
To come on here and tell a story. What's your side, bro?
I would love to hear his version.
Even if it's just like such a lie, I want to hear it.
Absolutely. We will welcome him on here to talk. Well, thank you for telling your story.
Thank you for having me on.
I guess that'll wrap it up.
Thanks, guys.
If you have a story that you'd like featured on the podcast, go ahead and send us an email to spookylifepodcast@gmail.com.